Vehicle.
Vehicle.
Like, how, wait, how do you say it again?
Vehicle.
I still, like, honestly, I remembered it as though it were a dream.
Really?
That whole conversation. I was like, did that really happen? Do I really say vehicle weird?
Megan, what would you have done if just right now I'd have been like, what are you talking about?
That would have been hilarious.
I never said anything like that to you.
You never said anything. Oh my gosh. It was just, I don't even know what to say. Vehicle. Vehicle.
There you go.
Vehicle. It just feels weird.
It feels weird. It feels too smooth.
It does. Vehicle. It feels like I'm saying a different word.
Say what you put on a pie when you squirt it.
Whipped cream.
What's wrong? Say it again.
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
It has an H in it.
Now I gotta think of other words. I don't know, but that one was pretty good.
Oh my god.
Megan's still sad.
How do you say it?
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Megan's still sad that I called her onto the carpet for saying vehicle.
Vehicle.
In last week's episode, Magic the Amateuring the Musical Spectacular number 2.
Oh my goodness. I still don't get it, honestly. I'll be honest. Vehicle. There's nothing weird about how I'm saying
vehicle.
Vehicle.
You know what they say? You can never really what you look like, and you can never really know how you say vehicle weird.
No, I don't get it. Like, you said it just now and it sounded normal.
Vehicle.
Where's that H going?
It's just out. It's gone. I ignored it.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Hey everybody, welcome to an episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Yes, we are a podcast for new players returning to the game, or anybody who likes to perfect their English.
Yes, if you want to know how to say the word vehicle like it has an H in it, which it does, we're the podcast to listen to.
And if you don't want to say vehicle like it has an H in it, guess what? You can listen to the show too. So what we're saying is,
we present both sides of the argument. Yep. Yes.
So welcome. We have a fantastic episode for you this week. If you didn't catch last week, by the way, go back, check it out. Musical episode. Yeah.
It's so
not
much
to be
fun.
Missed.
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream. Like, how do you say it?
I said it.
But how do you say, like, the stuff you put in a recipe to spice it up?
What do you mean?
That's made from plants.
Oh, that's herbs.
Okay.
Everybody, like, that's just a mispronunciation.
So British people are just straight wrong.
Yeah, they are in that case. Sorry, guys.
But there's an H in it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's different. It's the beginning.
Okay, so middle H's is what you don't want to forget.
No. Please always pronounce my name
Meghan.
Megan. Megan.
Meghan drives a whipped cream vehicle.
I wonder what a whipped cream vehicle would be like.
A delight.
Yeah.
A sticky delight. Anyway.
Well, this week on the show, we are going to be talking about reevaluating some Kaladesh cards.
Yes.
We are going to talk about the Standard Showdown, which is happening this month. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about the Standard meta and what we might be seeing this weekend at GP Denver.
Yeah, GP Denver coming up this weekend. Be sure to check it out, twitch.tv/magic. And if you're there, come say hi. Give us a good luck high five.
Yeah, we're going to be there. Maria will be working. I will be playing. We will both be around.
And there will be a cat.
Yeah, there will be a cat. This cat is in the video.
Anyway, so yeah, that's going to be really cool. We've got a Flavor Text Theater coming up. And we do have some Standard Showdown packs to crack.
Exciting.
You're not going to want to miss that because these packs have the potential to have some really awesome stuff. And guess what? We're going to give them away.
That's right. We're straight giving these cards away.
Yeah, we want to say thank you to people who have been patrons on patreon.com/MTAcast, and this is our way of saying thank you. So thank you to everybody who became a new member this month. Join the Less Than 1% Club. I know some of you have contacted us out there, and it's really great to hear from you for your reasons as to why you like supporting the show. It means a lot to us. And everybody who's been a patron for since forever, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll have a prize for somebody who's brand new this month and for somebody who's been donating for any amount of time.
Yes, of course. Thank you also so much to our sponsor, Card Kingdom. Head over to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast for all of your card needs. If you're going to play some sweet standard showdown games, no better place to get your singles from than Card Kingdom, because they will mail them out so quickly and so nicely.
Yeah.
I know you're wondering, how can someone send mail nicely?
They can.
But they do it.
They figured out a way.
They do it. They send their mail nicely.
Yeah, and that's a great example, Megan. Standard Showdown, we're going to talk about it more coming up in the show, but
yep.
Get your cards that you need for that. Perhaps your last seconding before Denver, you know, I don't know. CardKingdom.com is definitely the place to go for all of your magic needs.
Absolutely.
And let's get your magic needs met now. Ready?
Yes.
Kaladesh card reevaluations.
That's right. Hey, everybody. Sometimes when you sit down and you look at a new set that's about to come out, you haven't touched any of the cards with your real hands yet.
Or your fake hands.
Or your fake hands, but you might have put your mind hands on them. This is what I'm trying to distinguish it from.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sometimes when you haven't done that, you don't know exactly how those cards are going to play out yet.
Yeah.
You know, they could be much better than you expect. They could sometimes be much worse than you expect. But we're here to tell you that after a couple of weeks, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Collaborate with those cards and listen to what they're saying to you.
Yeah. I mean, we try and put ourselves in a good position and give ourselves all the best tools that we can to evaluate a card properly from the first time that it comes out.
Yep.
However, the great thing about Magic and the thing to keep up with is that cards are coming out that nobody has ever seen before.
Nobody.
New mechanics.
What?
New ways of interacting with the game. And sometimes we just straight up don't know.
Yeah.
We can make our best as educated guess.
Yep.
But sometimes we come up a little bit wrong on that. And it's useful to go back in time and kind of think about, what was I thinking at the time? Why did I evaluate it in a certain way? Mm-hmm. And how can I adjust my evaluations in the future?
Yes.
So what we're going to do is take a look back at the land that was slash still is Kaladesh. And some of the cards that we weren't sure about, maybe, mm-hmm. or thought were going to be bad and were better, or thought were going to be great. And then they just weren't all that good.
Yeah. Do you know what really has a home?
What?
And you can say that, you know, it always had a home because its home is on its back. But Thriving Turtle.
Thriving Turtle, yes.
Thriving Turtle, right? You look at it and it's like, what? It's an 03 for yeah. a single blue. And it like, okay, it comes in with 2 energy. But it turns out that there are decks that are like, I want that 2 energy.
Yeah.
And I just want an 03 to like hang around and block stuff.
Yep. Or potentially turn into, I think I've grown my Thriving Turtle into something like, Just a
like
huge...
Like a 3-6 or something?
3-6, a 4-7. Yeah. I mean...
There are some decks that can't deal. If you just turn it into like a 2-5, yeah, they're like, nope,
oh, I lose. Thriving Turtle was 100% one of the ones I had on my list.
Yeah.
And the reason it turned out to be better than it was because I think energy turned out to be better than yeah. I at least thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Me
sure.
as well.
It's just
me
enough of a reason. Well. Like, it gives you 2 things that you want. It gives you energy that you can use on the turtle or not.
Yeah.
And then it gives you a body that can yep. either be a blocker or can grow into something bigger. And what we love in Magic is being able to get 2 things for the price of 1, especially yeah, just a single
yeah,
mana.
Man. Card that turns out to be total crap.
Yeah.
Captured by the Consulate.
Yeah, Cashew, not a good card.
Garbage. Garbage card. Sometimes, every once in a while, there is a home for it.
Yeah,
but
every.
Do you know what? I have just been so underwhelmed.
Majorly underwhelmed.
Majorly underwhelmed.
Yeah, that card.
Not
if,
good.
If you have an only Flyers deck, sure.
Sure.
But
sure.
that doesn't happen all the time.
No.
Something I wanted to bring up was the modules, fabrication, animation, and decoction.
Yeah.
Which you previewed, actually.
Yes.
And I remember that was the one that I thought was going to be bad. That was one that I just thought, what? What? Period.
What?
Because they were notoriously hard to kind of figure out if they were going to be super great or not because yeah. we weren't sure how good energy was.
Yeah.
Turns out that I will always play these cards.
Yeah, agreed. They're not always at their, how good they are depends on the deck,
yes.
I think. Yeah. But in general, their quality is quite high. Like, I would play them. Yes.
Absolutely. Agreed. This is a surprise to me. Cataclysmic Gear Hulk. So, Gear Hulks, okay, just let me just say this. They're good, okay? They're mythics.
They're freaking mythics.
But Cataclysmic, which seems like an edict kind of on a stick,
yeah,
is really underwhelmed me in games that I've played it.
Interesting.
And it is the Gear Hulk that I've played the most because I've somehow opened it the most. I've opened it 4 times, okay?
Wow, that's a lot.
One of them was an invention, and that same draft, nice. I got a second one.
Wow.
So, like, lucky.com/Maria #luck.
I don't think you can use hashtags in web addresses.
Yet. But yeah, so from my experience with this card, it's just a little bit too much letting your opponent make the decision.
They get to pick what they're keeping.
They get to pick.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you both, you know, their stuff just ends up somehow being better than your stupid four or five vigilance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway, it's my least favorite of the Gear Hulks. And that's something I didn't think that I would be saying.
Yeah.
I think some people fight with me over that and say that red is the worst. But anyway, that's just a card that I was just pretty overwhelmed by being a mythic rare.
Yeah. A card that I've been very surprised with, Self-Assembler. There have been decks where I've just like been murdered by like 3 of these out of the same deck.
Yes.
And it's just like sometimes a 4/4 that goes and gets another 4/4 that goes and gets another 4/4.
Yeah.
Like by the time the third one comes down, you're like, I've lost this game. Like, I lost. I can't beat you just slamming 3 4/4s in a row.
Okay, sure.
That's a lot of 4/4s. And so, like, that one just completely slipped under the radar for me.
Yeah.
And turns out quite good.
Herald of the Fair is an interesting card that I want to point out that it's like fine, whatever, it's filler.
Yeah.
But in some sets of the past, Herald of the Fair would be a card that you definitely wanted in some builds of your deck. But in this format, it's like, I honestly can't remember the last time I saw somebody play this card.
Yeah.
Which is like, why?
I don't know. I mean, like, it fills in a 3-drop slot fine.
Yeah. But maybe it's like Kaladesh, you just need to be more synergistic than this card allows you to be.
Yeah,
perhaps that's what I'm thinking of.
That is potentially
Inspired
fair.
Charge is interesting in that sometimes you don't know in a set. It's kind of like a good measuring stick. If Inspired Charge is good in that set, you kind of know some of the things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Like you have the ability to go wide and then pump a lot of dudes, which in the set, Inspired Charge was a deck.
You certainly do.
It didn't come out till like later on. People didn't start playing it till later on in the set, but I thought that was interesting. So Inspired Charge turned out good in this set, which maybe was a clue. Like at the beginning, we didn't know for sure why Servo Exhibition was an uncommon instead of a common. Perhaps a clue.
Perhaps.
Or perhaps I just need to fill that
charge
slot. But
you know, and I think people have already been saying this one, but Rush of Vitality.
Yeah.
Like, cause I, you know, I'm never big on tricks. They're the last thing that I will put in my deck, and usually the first thing that I will cut.
You and Marshall need to.
I know.
Hold hands.
But you know what? Rush of Vitality, I would play up to 2 of these and I would cut like decent cards for it because I think that this card is very good.
It is.
It's really very good.
I think I've played 3.
I mean, just the fact that it's like lifelink and indestructible is just absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd. Absurd. Like, combination.
What are they going to do?
What more could you literally want out of a freaking trick?
And it's 1 in a black.
It's going to always save your creature. Sometimes it's going to save it from removal.
Yeah.
And you're going to gain life, so it's going to swing a race entirely in your favor. It's just absurd.
I agree. That
it's
card,
so great.
The best trick of the set, probably.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get real with y'all.
Just very good.
So a card that I think is the kind of the same story as Thriving Turtle is Aether Theorist, which when it comes in, it's a 1/3 for 2.
Oh, yeah. That card is great.
You get 3 energy. You can pay an energy, tap, and scry. So I think this one was not necessarily undervalued when the set came out, but it's interesting to note how much I'm like, yes, please put this card in my energy deck.
Yeah.
I need this for my energy deck because you need early sources of energy, and it allows you to scry to kind of fix
and
your draw.
And 3 is a lot.
And 3 is a lot.
3 is
you
a lot
don't
of energy.
Get 3 from your Thrybex even.
No, 3 energy. Do you know what? I've really ended up liking Underhanded Designs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the one that's 1 in a black. It's an enchantment, and it says whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1. If you do, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. 1 in a black, sacrifice Underhanded Designs, destroy target creature.
Yeah.
activate this ability only if you control two or more artifacts, which in this set, that's like just saying, like, are you playing the game? Then you're going to have two or more artifacts in play.
Do you happen to be playing right now? Are you napping?
Like, especially if you're drafting, like, kind of like the black-white artifacts deck.
Yes.
With, like, fortuitous finds or stuff like that in it. It's just, like, I've really liked this card.
And it's flexible, right? Like, yeah. You don't have to sack it. You can sit around and drain people.
Gain and drain. Gain and drain, man.
Gain and drain.
Gain and drain.
So, there's a couple of cards in black that I think were kind of, people didn't know how to feel about them. One was Harsh Scrutiny.
Yeah.
And this is a weird card for a black. You can steal a creature card from your opponent to make them discard it and scry one. And I think the scry one is really what saved this card's life.
Yeah.
I don't think people would necessarily be playing it if it didn't. But I'm the kind of person who this card, don't get it away from me. Get it 10 feet away from me. Is this a creature?
No.
Is this a trick? No. Okay. I'm not interested. But I've actually played this card a few times.
Yeah.
And each time I was happy to have played it, which is interesting. And the second card I was going to mention was Fretwork Colony, which I think turned out to be a fine card, even in a non-aggressive deck, because what it does is in a control deck, it's still... You can't obviously play it when you're low on life, but that's kind of the only scenario because it does give you inevitability, which is what a control deck needs from some card. Because if your opponent doesn't kill it, they're going to die to it. It just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little controversial what I'm saying right now, but I've played it in both builds. I don't love it,
but that's me.
Anyway, so that's kind of how I feel about Fretwork Colony. Like I'd always run it, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird cards, yeah. Midnight Oil.
Midnight Oil, great card.
This card was the number one card. People were like, what, period?
Yes, but do you know what you don't realize? Like, what most people did not realize about this card is that you keep drawing an extra card.
Yes.
Even when there's no more counters on it.
Yep.
You always get to keep drawing that card.
This card's great.
Which takes that card from, like, what to amazing.
Yeah. So the funny thing is people are still not sure how to feel about this card during Grand Prix Atlanta before the Pro Tour.
And Ray Perez.
Yes.
Ray Perez was like, I didn't realize that you kept drawing cards. And then he was like, I sideboarded it in every game after I realized that. Just like... And then I think he picked it in two different drafts on day two.
Yeah, we definitely saw, I can't remember who it was. We were watching a draft and somebody first picked Midnight Oil.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, whoa. Line in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, that means this card is good. And I've played
good
card. I played it. I definitely 3-0'd that draft.
Yeah.
Like, great it was card. Great.
Great card.
But that's so funny because that's exactly what we're talking about. It's a really unique and strange design. A really cool design, I think, too. But it's stuff like that where you just... You kind of don't know. So, those are a few. Like Night Market Lookout, I think nobody really was into that card, but that's just a pretty good indication that the format was not conducive to a 1/1 that can drive a vehicle and ping them for one. Like, you're still not going to run that card.
God,
right?
I don't care if you can drive a car, okay?
You're still not big you're enough for still me to not, care.
Nope.
How about those vehicles, Megan?
Not enough.
I mean, vehicles.
Vehicles? I don't. It has an H in it.
How
you
do you
know what?
How do
there's
you feel about
very few actually that I will play.
Yeah.
Is what I've discovered.
That's fair.
Obviously, like lots of the rare ones, like Sky Sovereign, obviously insane. Cultivator's Caravan, Fleet Wheel Cruiser, Smuggler's Copter. Great.
Yeah.
We'll play all of them. After that, it gets really iffy.
It does. What about you're going to play Renegade Freighter, though,
oh,
right?
Oh, obviously. Yeah. That, I forgot. In my mind, I counted it as a real rare vehicle.
That's fair.
Because it's just, like, so stupid good.
The other day, I was streaming, and I passed a Renegade Freighter because I got really excited that there was an Attune with Aether in the deck that I needed. But I didn't look, and everybody in chat was like,
what is
oh, my God. You never pass
you
a Renegade
never
Freighter.
Never pass a Renegade Freighter.
And it's you don't. True. I shouldn't.
It's true. Oh, another card. Deadlock Trap.
Deadlock Trap, yeah.
Good card.
That is a good one, because that one I would have said, I'm not playing
just
that.
Just lock stuff down.
But... You got energy, you know, you build around it. You've got energy left and right.
Great.
Thriving Grubs turned out to be kind of a bit of an all-star, I think, in the deck that it wants to be in. Those little buggers. Yeah. They'll get in for some damage.
Ooh, another rare. Key to the City.
Yeah, Key to the City.
Holy cow.
For sure.
Great card.
Great card.
Great card.
Wouldn't have seen that coming.
No. But you know what it does? It just loots for you. It loots for you for free.
And sometimes your stuff's unblockable if you're into that.
Yeah. Well, so you can see our two different playstyles. Yeah, I'm like, cards!
Unfortunately, sure, nobody ever broke Dubious Challenge, which, you know, there's still time.
No, they really haven't
there's
yet.
There's still time.
Maybe.
Okay, so in green, I think what we found is that cards like Attune with the Aether and Wild Wanderer, which fixed your mana, were much higher picks than I would have normally assumed.
Yeah.
Because playing four colors, three colors, five colors in this format is something that's totally viable and also made viable by cards like Prophetic Prism, which is like, yeah, take that card. If that card's in a pack and it's just kind of like meh, you're like, boom, slamming the prism.
Slam it.
I've played a lot of blue-green energy decks. That's been my all-time go-to. But they're never just blue-green. I always splash red for like
World of Virtuoso. Oh, what a card. What a card.
You know what I mean?
Swoon.
What's been your favorite color combo?
You know, I have not honestly been playing a lot of draft because I've been playing Standard.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Standard, shall we?
Let's. So you may have seen if you've headed over to Daily MTG or been on MTGO this week that there is the Standard Showdown going on. And during the Standard Showdown, there are a couple of ways that you can get these awesome Standard Showdown packs.
I'm holding three of them. Wizards sent these over and we're going to crack them on air for you guys.
You can get them. So these packs, first of all, they have a premium card from a currently legal Standard set. And that can include something like an expedition or an invention.
Oh, an expedition!
And they also have two non-premium cards that are either rare or mythic rare from currently legal Standard sets.
Yeah, so you have a pretty good chance of opening something sweet in these packs. There's only three cards, but they're usually all pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's two ways that you can get these, which is one, you can go play in a Standard Showdown event at a store near you.
Boom, throw it down.
Boom. So you can play in a Standard Showdown on December 3rd, on December 10th, or on December 17th.
You have so many options.
So many options.
Don't even try and tell me you're busy on the weekend because you've got three weekends.
That's right. And it's up to stores how they distribute their Standard Showdown packs. So you never know. You can figure out, like, maybe your store isn't doing, like, the top eight gets them. Maybe they're doing, like, the craziest brews get them.
Right.
So go find out.
Yeah, they were randomly given away at the LGS that I visited, our LGS Mead Hall.
See?
So anybody could get them regardless of record. And I think next week they're doing some cool stuff with trivia. So I think it's just a really fun event, especially because when I went there, so I'm doing a video for Daily MTG, keep your eyes peeled for it, it'll be really cute, about the Standard Showdown, and people were bringing kind of like their home brews.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, I really love Red Green Energy, I'm going to make my own version of Red Green Energy and play it. Some people were bringing, of course, more competitive decks like Blue White Flash or whatever, but the thing is, I think it's a really casual, neat opportunity for you to go in, kind of with whatever you have, and just play with some friends and then maybe win a sweet pack, you know what I mean?
So if you are just completely over seeing so much black green and so much blue white and you're like head on out to a Standard Showdown, because like Maria said, you know, you're gonna get to see some more fun stuff happening there.
And it's like a lot of people are sometimes busy for FNM and they can't get to it. Or perhaps FNM seems like a little too competitive for you. If you want to test your toe in the water with something that's a little more friendly. I think the Standard Showdown is like the Standard Stowdown is a good middle ground between just looking at your deck and sighing longingly and playing an FNM.
Oh, man, I competed in a Stowdown once.
Tell me more.
It's a combination between a hoedown and a packing competition. where you dance a hoedown and then you pack a suitcase as quickly as you can.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it's like, do you know what? It's coming for the contemporary triathlon. I think it's the new.
I thought you were going to say it's It's whoever can stow away the best on a ship or a train.
That could work too.
And if you get found out, you lose. But if you make it to the end of the journey and they still haven't found you and you're in a corner, you know, in your own filth, having stolen like a biscuit at some point, you win.
I think you're just describing intense hide and go seek.
Yeah, I am.
Which could also be a stowdown.
Let's have a great stowdown.
You can also get a standard showdown pack by getting a holiday buy a box promo.
Oh, okay.
So that is another way if you're looking for some sweet gifts.
So how do you want to crack these? Do you want to wait a little bit or do you want to just
Should we just do it? Should we just do it now at the top, or should we make one? Let's do it at intervals. So we'll crack one now.
One now.
We're gonna crack one right now.
Okay, you'll do the next one. Okay. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting for me. Okay, we have an inventor's fair.
Inventor's fair.
We have another rare, of course. Yeah, we do.
A paradoxical outcome.
It's foil.
I saw you get trounced by that card the other day.
Yeah,
it happened.
I was playing standard. We'll get into that. But
you're playing she was playing versus the Aetherflux Reservoir deck. Yeah.
So this is a foil version for that deck and a Desolation Twin. Sweet.
Nice.
So three rares, not too
Inventor's
shabby.
Inventor's Fair, played in Modern Lantern Control.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Sweet. Okay. There's one down. So this is going in the pile for our all-time Patreon winner. Right there. Okay. Sweet. So Megan.
Yes.
Denver.
Denver.
It's coming up.
It is coming up. I have been practicing so hard.
That's good.
Yes.
Because last time you practiced so hard, do you remember what happened?
I made day two.
That's right.
So, but you know what? I've been way less confident in my performance in standard.
Why?
Because it has been freaking hard for me to find a deck that I like and can play even something approaching well.
You know what? Standard.
But you know what? I searched high. I searched low. I searched more after that.
And
I found a deck that I'm maybe not thrilled, but at least satisfied playing.
Yay!
I am playing Jeskai Control.
Okay.
Hello, my old friend.
Well, I mean, you have played Jeskai Control before.
I played Control. I played Blue-Eye Control.
What was it? Black combo? Black-Eye Control. Play with a Jeskai Ascendancy combo?
Oh, I did play Jeskai Ascendancy combo.
Yeah.
That was green-based, though, surprisingly.
Oh, okay.
In a weird way.
So there's two different versions of this deck running around right now.
Yes. Well, there's a Jeskai Control version, which did get second at SCG Knoxville.
Oh, okay.
Yes, SCG Knoxville. And it's like Jeskai, it plays four Torrential Gearhulks, it plays some Nahiris, a Jace, and it plays obviously just a ton of removal.
Yeah.
A ton of removal and some counters.
Seems right.
Yeah. The deck does have a hard time against Gideon. Oh boy, sometimes. Man, like, I've had a really hard time against Blue-White Spirits, which is why I'm not completely thrilled. But it's, like, the reason why I ended up picking it is because I was, you know, I played some other decks. I played Black-Green because everyone's like, it's the most powerful deck.
Yep.
And it is absurdly powerful. You just jam all these crazy powerful cards.
And then you cast an Emrakul.
And then you cast Emrakul. But oh my gosh, the mirror is a nightmare. It's a nightmare and a half. It's so many nightmares. It's
why?
Three nightmares on top of each other.
Because it's just people going back and forth casting Emrakul.
Yes, exactly.
Oh boy.
I literally, like I would have opponents where they and I Emrakuled each other each like three times before the game ended. And that was game one. And you're just like,
whoa.
Why?
Okay.
Also, it loses so hard to red-green Aetherworks.
Yeah.
Aetherworks. It's horrible. It's so disheartening sometimes.
Well, that's a newer deck.
It is. So anyways, and then, you know, I tried Blue-White Spirits, but I just didn't, there's something about it I couldn't
get behind.
Yeah,
you felt like a bad person because you're playing Spell Queller, which is a terrible card.
It is a terrible card, okay?
By which I mean it's absurdly powerful.
Yeah, but do you know what? It's terrible.
It makes me mad.
It's a terrible card. It makes me angry also.
Okay.
And then, you know, I played Jeskai, and it was the first one where I felt like, even the games that I lost, I felt like it was because I did something wrong every time.
Well, that's
Whereas
good.
Other ones, it was just like, I would play games, and some of them were certainly my fault, but then there were some that it's just this game was, you know, it came down too much to, like, some different draw steps.
Yeah.
And some different top decks, And there's so much, I feel like there's so much more self-determination.
Right. Like you want to be able to decide.
Exactly. And with the Jeskai control, even when I'm losing, it's like, well, do you know what? I chose this.
I chose this loss. I deserve this loss.
I really do. Every single time.
You know what?
It's legit. I will take that feeling over feeling like I lost to the matchup or I feel like I lost to top decks. Every time.
I agree.
Every single time I would take that feeling.
Losing never feels great, but knowing that you did it to yourself, honestly,
it's feels better
than knowing that fate so did it better. To you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, well, you tested some stuff out. So yeah. Why do you think you settled on Jeskai control?
Well, that's the biggest reason is that like I feel like it's self-determining.
Yeah.
That and I do think that we might see an uptick in red-green Marvel decks coming up, and I feel pretty solid about that matchup.
Yeah.
I played a match today, and I just, like, completely trounced the opponent. I even got Emrakul'd twice in game one.
What?
And still won.
How?
Like, I countered the Emrakul when it came in, but they still get the mind control effect.
Yes.
And my opponent, like, sufficiently wrecked my hand, but at that point, you know, I had run them out of so much other stuff that they were just on top decks and I still had like ways to draw cards. I still had an active planeswalker in play and I still had all of these man lands or these creature lands. And I just like, do you know what? Sorry, Emrakul'ing me twice wasn't enough.
Wow. Okay. So what are the hallmark cards in this deck?
So the big ones are, it plays four Glimmer of Genius.
Which is
the 3 and a blue, and you scry 2 and draw 2 cards, and it's an instant, which is the most notable. And I've actually been kind of tinkering with the deck, because originally it played 3 Radiant Flames and a Fumigate.
Yeah.
And I think right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out all of the Radiant Flames and the Fumigate for an additional Negate and 3 Galvanic Bombardments. Because the deck wants so much to only operate at instant speed.
Wow.
That's what it does best. And I hate the fact that if I want to cast a Radiant Flames,
you have to wait.
I have to do it on my turn and I have to tap out.
Well, I don't want to play Magic on my turn.
No, I really don't.
That's for Neanderthals.
Exactly. Like the things I want to play on my turn are it has two Nahiris and a Jace.
Okay.
And even then, I'm not going to play those until I can play one and also have other stuff up. Torrential Gearhulk is like a dream card. Oh my goodness. Torrential Gearhulk is amazing. It allows you to flashback any instant. It's for without paying its cost. Oh, it's so good.
Playing against this deck sounds like my ultimate nightmare.
Playing this deck is just my dream. I love it so much. This is why
we have a show. We're like the odd couple.
Yeah. Like I said, it does have an issue with Gideon. Like, you really need to have a plan.
I have an issue with Gideon.
Yeah?
What, are you taking performance-enhancing drugs? Don't tell me those muscles are real.
Buff. He's a buff dude. So anyways, yeah, I am. And, like, I just feel like every game I learn so much. I like it a lot.
Oh, that's good, too.
Yeah.
So, speaking of green-red Aetherworks, I wanted to just touch on it because it is kind of the hot deck of the moment.
Yeah, it really is.
And I do expect to see some of it in Denver. And so I decided to test it out on stream the other night, which, by the way, I want to do a brief plug here. Twitch.tv/MagicTheAmaturing. Head over there right now. Get on your computer. Get on your smartphone. Get on your tab. Call up your fairy godmother who uses the internet. It's a tablet.
Okay.
And
just checking.
Type in twitch.tv/MagicTheAmaturing. That's Euring. And hit follow. Boop. Because we've been doing a lot more streaming.
Yeah, we have.
We haven't been able to make partner on Twitch yet because we haven't really kept a regular schedule or gotten that many viewers. So what we want to do is be a little bit more regular about it and eat our granola. And
fiber in general.
Oh, yeah. Fibers. We want to eat our fiber, stay regular, and get some more people to watch. I mean, somebody mentioned in chat, they said, I don't know if a lot of your listeners even know that you do a stream. You know, if they don't, that's very true. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you might not
know at all.
Know ever that we do, but we do.
We do.
And we play at night normally, so after work, you can tune in while you're cooking dinner or sitting back in the bathtub in your bubble bath.
Yep.
And watch and hang out because we have a good time and play some Magic. So just keep an eye out for that. Either follow us and it'll shoot you a little message when we go live, or get on Twitter and follow us, and that will inform you as well. So Just want to put that out there. But I played some Green Red Aetherworks, which basically the deck abuses Aetherworks Marvel, a card which was designed to be abused, honestly, and gets you a lot of energy so that you can spin the wheel on Aetherworks Marvel and cast a card for free. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it plays cards like Attune with Aether to get you energy, Harness Lightning, basically just to get you energy, even though it can kill things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just want some energy here. And then we put also things into the graveyard with cards like Vessel of Nascency, which fuels making your Emrakul cheaper. But you don't always just have to cast it. You can just spin the wheel, as they say, on your Aetherworks Marvel, pay 6 energy, tap it, and look at the top 6 and cast one of them for free. So I played this deck just to see if it was really all that it was cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. I went 3-2 in the league.
Nice.
Which is pretty good considering I had never laid eyes on it before that very night.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess it's a pretty powerful deck.
It's very powerful.
A lot of people say Aetherworks Marvel should never have been printed. Like, it's an unfun card. It's too easy to abuse.
Do you know what? It's not an unfun card if you just counter it.
Touché. I did not feel unfair playing the deck. I felt like, yeah, there's plenty of ways for people still to beat me. Yeah. But casting an Emrakul for free, oh boy, is that a feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. But in the end, this isn't the kind of deck that I would want to play at a GP for sure. I, you know, would rather play something that's more kind of like straightforward attacking the opponent. So I tried out a red green energy deck, which definitely was not as good.
Yeah.
I think I only won like a couple, maybe only one round. I don't remember. But it made me long for the days of my always watching Megan.
Yeah.
Always watching just as everything that I ever want in a card, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it was fun though. I hadn't played Standard for a long time and it was neat to kind of get back in the saddle and try it out. It also is playing Ishkanas, or the new nickname that we say.
Ishike.
Which Marvel decks were not playing, I don't think.
Yeah, well, they did it to shore up their match against Blue White, which was very bad.
Yeah.
Ishike is quite good. against those decks.
Stop trying to make Ishike happen. It's not going to
happen. It's going to happen. Especially in Black Green when it's Ishike and Hissen Q.
You know, I'm going to be doing life totals in Denver. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is just go
whisper
and be like,
in their ears.
Ishike. Hey, I've got, remember when I named it the pain train?
Yeah.
Ishike.
Ishike.
Ishike. They're not
Ishike and Hissen Q.
I can dream.
We can all dream for that.
Just because Marshall saying Ishike would just be like pretty great. Yeah,
it would be. Be real good.
So Megan, are you going to get a feature match again this weekend?
Oh goodness. We'll see.
Tune in, twitch.tv/magic, starting on Saturday for some sweet GP Denver coverage. There's another GP going on in Europe as well. So a lot of sweet magic happening this weekend. Hoping to see you there, by the way. Yeah. If you're there, come up and say hi.
Before we head on to our next standard section, I'm going to crack a standard showdown.
Oh, I'm so excited. I feel an invention coming on, Megan. I feel it in my bone veins.
I feel it in my fingers.
What did I just say?
Yeah. Don't say bone veins again. That was bad. Ooh, we have a mythic. Nahiri's Wrath.
Ooh, that's a good card.
I really like that card. Yeah. Ooh, we have a Submerged Boneyard in foil.
Speaking of boneyards.
And we have a Painful Truth.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a pretty sweet one.
Yeah, it is.
I like how kind of random it is.
What?
I like how random this is.
Yeah, how random the assortment of cards is.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot to tell you about a deck that I tried out.
Oh, okay. Hit
me. In my quest, I tried the blue-black Metallurgic Summonings deck.
Is that a thing?
It's a deck, man. I had a very bad time playing it. I didn't do well.
Okay.
And I felt like the deck has some serious issues. It does not have nearly enough things to do on 2.
Okay.
But it's blue-black, and it's a control deck, so you're playing, like, Essence Extractions and Anticipates and Grasp of Darkness, but you're playing 4 Metallurgic Summonings.
Yeah.
You're playing 4 Part the Water Veil.
Whoa!
Yeah, you're playing Torrential Gear Hulks. And I don't remember what else, but it's basically like you're trying to survive to 5, cast a Metallurgic Summonings, and then, you know, start making creatures when you cast all of your instants and sorceries. And you know what? I do have to say that there's like so many times I would cast a summonings on 5 and then cast a part the water veil on 6 and get a 6/6 and an extra turn and my opponent would just concede immediately.
Well, yeah. Well, that sounds super sweet. It's too bad it's not quite there.
It just, like I said, I feel like I really want it to be because it was ridiculous. It was so much fun. There'd be amazing things you could do. Like, if you know you have a part the water veil, you can attack once at their Gideon or something, and they usually left one creature back to block it. So they'll block, and then you play a part the water veil, and then you get to attack again next turn and kill their planeswalker.
Yes!
It's just, you know, it was just a true delight sometimes.
Part the water veil, man. What that was a card. Ugh. That I really think needs more time in the sun than it had.
Yeah, it really does. And so part of me really wants to see the deck. I tried it out because Ifro wrote a deck of the day on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it won a PPTQ.
Okay.
I don't remember where off the top of my head. But anyway, so he wrote about it. And then Zach Elsick played it at a showdown and went 4-0. So I tried it. And it was just like, well, it needs something, but damn, it was
maybe
fun.
It will get something with Aether Revolt coming up.
Maybe so. I would love to see that. I would love to see that deck make it. It was so much fun. You can check it out. If you want to try it, I highly recommend giving it a try.
Sounds fun.
You can find the deck list if you go to Channel Fireball.
Sweet.
Yeah. So speaking of building decks.
Yeah.
Showdown. This week on Daily MTG, you can check out, I have an article on building green decks, and there's different articles on each of the different colors that are coming out this week. So if you're looking for something to tickle your brain into trying something new, head on over to Daily MTG, despite the way I just described it.
Whenever I get tickled, I definitely want to try something new.
Yeah.
It's like an impulse. Like someone hits your knee with a hammer.
The new thing I want to try is punching that person in the face.
What would that feel like?
Yeah, like that is my impulse that
probably
I feel.
Probably pretty good.
Like I haven't punched anybody in the face and I would want to try. Like that would be like, they're tickling me and I'd be like, ah!
So Megan, what's the top tip for building a green deck?
The way I talked about it was like, here are some cards that are good right now that are already in green and index, like Tireless Tracker, Ishii-Kei, obviously. Attune with Aether, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And then I talked about a couple of cards that don't have homes yet. I mentioned Arborback Stomper.
Yeah. It's
like,
I was thinking it was going to be another horrible Thragtusk nightmare.
Yeah, that's what, like, I think that there is some potential in that card that is as yet undiscovered.
Yeah, Arborback, I mean, gaining 5 life is no small shakes and like,
no,
on
it's
a 5-4 body.
It's a lot of life, man.
And we do have, it's not like we don't have cards that don't blink in this set, because we do. We have Acrobatic Maneuver.
Oh, I also mentioned Undergrowth Champion.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy? One green for the 2/2, and if landfall, it gets a counter, and you can remove 2 counters from it to prevent damage.
That's right. So this card kind of reminds me.
Oh, wait, you can remove 1 counter from it to prevent damage.
Even better.
Never mind. Holy cow.
That reminds me of some graveyard fun times that we used to have we have it in a different way now. I was thinking of when we had Morph, Den Protector.
Oh, yeah, Den Protector. I also mentioned Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah, because people thought this was going to be a thing.
Yeah. I noted that there's like a lot of like utility creatures on 2 or 3, like Pilgrim's Eye or Filigree Familiar, that like at 3, you know, you could sack and go get your Arborback Stomper or something like that.
Oh.
If you're looking for some sort of utilities, a green creatures deck.
This sounds like an opportunity for somebody to brew something up for a showdown.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So one of my proposals was a 5-color bring to light control deck, which
course.
I think is a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea, but I love it because it uses like Oath of Nissa so that all of your planeswalkers, you can cast, you know, any planeswalker off of any colors of mana.
All right, sweet.
Attune with Aether to get your different colors of lands, and then bring to light to go get different wraths, like Fumigate, mostly Fumigate.
So wow. Anyways. That sounds like some silly fun times.
That would be,
I mean, when you're running
deck.
Gideon and Jace Unraveler Secrets, you know.
You're doing something right, man.
Something is going well for you.
You're doing something great. Hey, everybody, I just invented this new game that we're going to play with this Battle for Zendikar pack, which is a throwback pack. So we're playing the Do You Remember game, where we're going to take the cards and we'll pretend like we're describing, you know, our best memory of our time
with this card.
With that card.
Okay. Don't throw away the land. You're going to get this patron person because it's full art.
Right. Man. Do you remember that time when we, like, gosh, there were, like, a whole bunch of us there and, like, we just really wanted to attack, but we only had one toughness and, like, there are all these stupid scions around and, like, all these scions are one ones now and so we couldn't attack. Man, if only we had a core castigator there. That would have been really helpful. That would have been really helpful.
Do you remember this time that's still played in Standard?
Uh-huh.
Where you were like, oh man, I wish I could choose what was going to happen in my future, but I don't want to look too far ahead, only like 3 days.
Oh yeah, I just want to anticipate what's going to happen next. do you remember that time there was like a group of us and it was kind of like our cohort at the time and we went on such a long walk that we all got giant blisters on our feet.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it was our, you know, and we were like, oh, the, you know, all of us had them. It was our blister pod.
Oh, do you remember that time when you won a game with a 1/4? I'm not gonna make a pun, but like this is my memory of this card. When they're like, oh, I won this game with this 1/4.
By attacking 20 times?
Yeah.
What 1/4 was it?
Benthic Infiltrator.
Yes, of course.
I love this card.
Of course it was. Do you remember when Greg was like, you know, a random person named Greg was okay. Like, hey, I'm gonna learn how to be really great with a sword, okay? And we're like, you can't. You're just not, like, I don't foresee you being great. You
with
know,
a sword.
Like, great with the sword. I just don't think that you've, you know, I don't think that you've got that in you.
Yeah.
But he worked on it and he trained and he trained and he trained and he became a master. He was really great at it. He was a resolute blade master.
Oh, I loved that card. But it never really, like, it was in decks early and then it was kind of like people stopped playing
it.
Do you remember that time when the main guy from Family Guy quit his job doing whatever he does on the show, I can't remember, and became somebody who just delivers packages on demand?
No.
Courier Griffin?
Do you remember that time that we all went tubing on a river, but then we ended up in a lake on accident and it was a really big lake? So
yeah,
I tide. We were all just tide drifters.
Do you remember that time you went home for Thanksgiving, even though you hate your family? Dutiful return.
Oh man, do you remember that time that you and I got in a fight because that one other friend of ours, Greg, told you a lie about me that was like really mean. He told you that I had said mean stuff about you when I hadn't.
Yeah,
it was it was a turn against.
How about, do you remember the time that you wanted to play Modern and you wanted to play Scapeshift? And I was like, Megan, how dare you? That deck wrecks me and it's unfair. And I called you a really bad name, a Valakut Invoker. Does the deck play Valakut, like that mountain?
Yeah, it sure does. Nailed it. Good call. Oh man, do you remember that time we were over at our friend's house and they had that dog with like the tail that wagged really fast and it just like smacked everything and it really hurt? And the dog was also like a really angry dog who like barked at everybody and was a belligerent whiptail.
Do you remember that time when I was having a shower and it was like great and you had like slept over the night before or something and then you came into the bathroom to use the bathroom? I was like, hold on a second, I'm having a shower, get out. You are a mist intruder. This card, by the way, love this little guy.
Do you remember that time that we went camping in Minnesota in the middle of nowhere, which it used to be a great prairie, and we found a little tiny river? It was a prairie stream.
Sick rare,
man.
Well, we have another Standard Showdown pack to crack before the show's over.
Standard Showdown pack.
Okay, so all of these cards plus just an unopened Oath of the Gatewatch pack are going into the November winner, who's got quite a haul here.
Yeah.
Who is a brand new patron this month. We'll save that until we open the final countdown here.
The final countdown. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Wait, you gotta stop, otherwise YouTube's gonna flag us. Like they flagged our
white
Christmas.
Yeah.
A cappella version.
White decklist.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh boy.
All right.
Okay, I'm gonna flip this one up.
Go for it.
Gonti, Lord of Luxury.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Sure strike.
Foil.
Foil sure strike. Ready? I'll flip it, you name it.
Flip it and name it. Death Cap Cultivator. Sweet.
Awesome.
So we got some pretty awesome rares and,
And foils.
Foils. Yeah, these standard showdown packs are legit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can get some really cool stuff. We're going to ship these ones off. We'll go to our all-time patron winner. So this is somebody who's been donating for any amount of time.
Yes.
Ray Strait from Michigan, who has been a patron for quite a while. So
awesome.
Congratulations, Ray. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for supporting the show. And the November winner for the new patron is Damien Evans.
Damien. You live in Australia, so you need to send us your address.
Yes, that is factually correct.
So please,
we need your address.
Please email us magicallyamateuring@gmail.com the second that you hear this, because we've had some people who have not emailed.
We got all these cards for you.
Okay, so Those are our winners. Congrats to them.
Yeah.
And if you want to join in the party, please consider doing so, because we would love to have you in the Less Than 1% Club. It's kind of a badge of honor, right?
Yeah.
To be able to say, like, hey,
it really is.
I like something and I support it.
We appreciate it so much. And if any of those standard ideas really, you know, got your noggin working, head on over to cardkingdom.com/mtacast to get any cards that you may still need to build a sick standard deck for one of those standard showdowns coming up at a store near you.
That's our episode for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Of course, like we mentioned, we do stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/magicTheAmaturing.
There might even be a stream today.
You never know.
So go find out.
Follow us on Twitter @MTAcast. You'll get the news there, or hit that follow button and you'll be able to find out that way. If you have anything for our mailbags, shoot us an email, magicallyamateuring@gmail.com. If you can't spell it, you can just go to our website. You can even just hit MTAcast.com. Thanks to a listener, and we have a contact form on there for you, as well as a backlog of all our greatest episodes all of our worst episodes of all time.
Just all of them. It's just all of our episodes.
Somebody emailed us asking, or tweeted at us asking about a message that they heard, like one of our listener messages in episode 200 mentioned our Women in Magic episode, which is one of our most popular. It's called Psy. You can just search that on our website. You can go listen to that. Or like literally anything, like first GP enter. Oh, here, I can learn about that. You know, just anything. We have a search function. So use it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And thanks for hanging out, everybody. Hope to see you
in your vehicle.
God dang it!